wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. It seemed right, but was it right? Suppose you were traveling across the country, and as you asked directions, someone told you to just keep going straight on, but failed to warn you where you might miss your way. You drive on, and you meet a road fork. You stop. One looks wider and smoother. It is more used, and even while you hesitate, it seems like everyone takes that fine-looking road. Being unwarned, you judge by what seems right to you and take the wrong road. But God in his word has warned us, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God would alert us to this great danger. You may miss the road to life and glory, to go down that road of death and gloom, if you decide by what seems right to you, instead of deciding by God's unerring word to you. I must speak with great plainness of speech to you, for when your life here and your soul hereafter are at stake, we must come clean with everything, and call sin, sin, and death, death, and heaven, heaven, and hellfire, hellfire. Somehow I see you brace yourself in your chair or in that seat in your car. You tighten your muscles and set your face to try and stand the blow of divine truth. Once I drove my car over a huge rattlesnake. I felt the wheels go thump, thump as I went back and forth over him, and then he went off into the woods. He had so hardened his muscles, it was like going overboard. Neighbor, don't harden your heart to withstand God's word. Relax and listen and lay to heart my message. God's word will do you good if you will receive it. It may smart and sting, but it heals and recovers too. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How can we tell the wrong road? It seems right to a man. How strange. What does this mean? It indicates that the devil is going to fix up that wrong road so nice, it will appeal to you in every way. It also indicates that sin has so blinded your eyes to what is good and what is evil, and so warped your judgment of what is right and what is wrong, that you lean toward that which is evil and wrong. Let me illustrate. As we come to fork number one, we see on one road a beautiful church house. Its surroundings are so nice. Its preachers so charming. The people are dressed so up-to-date. And the music is so professional. Surely this must be the right road. Well, over there on that other road is a cross, a bloody cross, with a mob crucified one called Jesus of Nazareth, yelling, "Away with him, crucify him." And there standing around that cross is just a little band of poor folk who love Jesus. Surely this despised road cannot be the right one. I tell you that religious road is the road to hellfire. But that Calvary road is the road of life, the road to heaven. The way of the cross leads home. It is the Calvary road and not the cathedral road. Millions are attracted to a church, but they ignore the cross. The real church points people to Christ and to Calvary, but the false church attracts to itself. Another fork is reached, and there you see again, the big crowd takes one road, and the other is so narrow, and so few people go that way. Why not be popular and go with a big crowd, the way of the world? Surely all those people cannot be wrong. Why be ostracized and bury yourself with a despised few? I tell you, that broad road crowd takes in everything, from those who serve the devil to those who worship the dollar. It takes in the religious hypocrite and the gambler, the wine seller and the beer drinker. It objects to nothing. Cursing sounds big to its crowd, while Bible verses sound childish. It approves the dance in the dog race. It throngs the auditorium for the boxing fight, but empties it when the evangelist moves in. Its TV is set for the central show, but off it goes when a preacher appears with an open Bible crying, "Prepare to meet thy God." I tell you, that popular crowd is hellish and hell-bound. It murdered God's Son and then got drunk on sin to try and forget the awful deed. If you take that popular road, you are without excuse. The Lord Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." To every bewildered soul there comes a second message. A voice of divine authority speaks, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is that lowly man, Jesus of Nazareth. At this fork, each man must decide, Jesus Christ the way, or a way which seemeth right unto a man. In this day and time, folks like to be liberal, broad-minded, and tolerant of everybody's religion. Surely this seems right. It is so kind, you know. Again, the divine voice is heard, "I am the way." From every quarter comes the griping sounds. "I don't like that." But I tell you, these words of Jesus Christ, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," will stand forever. And in eternity, every man, you and I and the next one, will be a testimony to the truth of this amazing claim of Jesus of Nazareth. The apostles went everywhere preaching Jesus as the way. This stirred the hatred of the religious leaders, but they preached on, and so will I, by the grace of God. You need not be startled at this. In the first century, there was a beautiful temple, a well-organized and orthodox religion with its priests and rulers, but the apostle Peter faced them, the religious leaders, and preached Jesus Christ of Nazareth, saying, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Religion then and now rejects Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we must choose man's religion or Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Religion rejects the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, and they set up a woman. They call her Mary. Religion belittles the atoning blood of Christ and feeds people on communion crackers and tell them that eating crackers will cleanse their sins. There is no salvation in any religion, whether a Jew's religion or a heathen religion, whether a Catholic religion or a Protestant religion. Salvation for you, my neighbor, is only in the living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are many ways to hell, but only one way to heaven. Christ is the way. There are many books of men, but only one word of God, the Bible. God has many remedies for sin, but man has many remedies for sin, but God has only one, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Religious works abound, but there's only one work that saves, the work of redemption Christ finished at Calvary. In the Old Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ cried, "A just God and a Savior, there is none else beside me. Look unto me, and be saved, all the ends of the earth." And in the New Testament, our Lord spoke with divine finality, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way." Yes, he is the way. A person is the way, and not a plan or a creed. You must receive him, the person, to be saved. Accepting his work will not do. You must receive the person who did the work. It is receive him. A person is the way. How can that be? The lifeguard is the way of salvation for the drowning man, isn't he? The fireman is the way of escape for the person in the burning building, isn't he? Just so. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way of salvation for you. Lost sinner, whoever you are and whatever you have done, in true repentance lay hold of Christ. He will save you. Let go of all else and cling to Christ. He is the way. Yes, the way back to God. You must come to God by Christ. And He's the way to heaven and home. Heaven's gate will swing open to you through Christ, who said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Our Lord said, I am the truth. His word is true, and He is the truth. Burn the books of man's religious theories. Rid your mind of all their imaginations and bow at the footstool of divine revelation. Bow at the feet of Jesus, the one who is the truth. Bow at His feet to hear His word and to believe it because He said it. One young man, hearing a preacher deny the words of our Lord about hellfire, came to me and wanted to be saved. He said, can I just believe in Jesus without believing there is a hellfire and be saved? I showed him our verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. These three cannot be separated. You must not only receive the Lord Jesus as the way back to God, but you must receive Him as the truth, believing everything He said because He said it. If He did not tell us the truth about hell, why should we believe what He said about heaven? Our faith must embrace His person, His work, and His words. For all three go together and cannot be separated. The faith that saves first receives Him, the person. Second, relies on His work, the cross. And third, rests on His word, the Bible. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the life. It will be life, eternal life, divine life for you when you receive Him. He that hath the Son hath life. Some receive a doctrine about Christ and are as dead as a doorpost. They might as well be in a casket as far as the church or the world or the gospel being helped by their existence. But say, neighbor, when you receive Christ, who is our life, you won't be a dead fish going down the stream any longer, but a living fish, fearing neither tide nor current. You will have a life that will show itself and make itself felt in your home, your community, your business, and even in the far-off mission field. Christ will be your life, and your life will be lived for Christ. This is Bible Christianity. It is dead in sins to live unto righteousness. The negative side, you no longer continue in your old walk or talk, your old habits or hobbies, but dead to sins. The world around you as wicked as ever, but you dead to it. Then there is the positive side. Live unto righteousness. You show you have life in Christ Jesus by responding to every opportunity to glorify God in your life. Alive, alert, ready for every good work. Looking for opportunities to exercise that new life, that new divine energy you have in Christ. Listen, let the wicked forsake his way. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. You must forsake all other ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ to trust in him alone for salvation. Then in him you will find the way back to God, the truth for every bend of the road, and the life all along the way to heaven and home. It won't be what seems right to the world around you or to the flesh within you, but it will be what is right, for it is the revelation of God's Spirit in God's word, and your experiences in time and eternity will verify that as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. I have tried God's way for over 66 years. Ago, I turned from what seemed right to take God's way in Christ. I have put it to every test from young manhood to old age and the rugged life of aggressive evangelism. After 66 years of such testing, I heartily and unreservedly recommend to you, one and all, Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, as the way, the truth, and the life. May you thus receive Him and prove what a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through His bondservant, David Brinkman.